Let's have we prayed yet? Let's pray. Did I pray already? No? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get into your word. And Father, we know that your word has your mind in it because it was the Holy Spirit that put it into the heart of men to write it down. And so, Father, as we get back into your word, may we embrace it and run with it, knowing it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're sure living in some very difficult times, aren't we? We seem to have not gotten over the election yet. We're trying to. But anyway, in 2 Peter chapter 1, we talked about Peter giving witness to the person that Jesus was when he manifested. And then he said, not only did we have the privilege of the manifestation of the Lord Jesus, we even heard supernatural things begin to take place, such as we heard God speak from heaven to confirm him. You follow what I'm saying? And he said, we heard it. He's real. It's not just like one of them songs said, it's not a legend of old, but it's a living reality. There was always something in me that always questioned whether or not I'm believing the right thing. Simply because, and I didn't know it was in Scripture, but it's there. Having not seen him, you love him. Isn't that something? And so when I was studying on the Holy Spirit and his job to reveal God to us, and we are the generation that has not seen him. Now, we might have had a supernatural experience in our walk with God, but as a whole, when we function in the kingdom of God, it's by faith and not by sight. We're believing in something that has taken place in our hearts to know it. Amen. Not just to experience some outward manifestation, but something that has taken place in our hearts. And this is what Peter was saying. See, Peter had to grow into knowing God even though he walked with him. And even though he knew him supernaturally, when the rubber met the road and when he was confronted, if he was a Jesus follower, he denied him 3 times. So that shows me that the natural man has no way of really stabilizing himself until the inner man, something has taken place in the inner man to stabilize him. And one of the things that has to be stabilized is our soul. Because our soul contains 2 mind processes. One of the natural man and one of the spiritual man. That's when we get born again. Otherwise, in our soul, we don't have spiritual identity working in us. We only have the mind of the flesh working in us. It's important to know that. And so when we talk about being saved daily, when it comes to our soul is what it's referring to, not being able to take the benefits of being brought into the kingdom of God by receiving Jesus, but also receiving the end of our salvation, the deliverance of our thinking, our soul. And so here in 2 Peter, Peter comes down to verse 20 and 21, says, knowing this first, that every prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Actually, in the Greek it says, becomes not of its own origin. Well, then what does that mean? It says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So that means the Holy Spirit has some pretty important things that takes place in our heart. And his mind, or the interpretation of what God said, showed up in Scripture. Amen. And it says every Scripture. Every Scripture. Well, you know something? It was very interesting that when we use the word every scripture, we don't realize that there are different administrations throughout history. Since the beginning of Adam and Eve, clear up until our time frame. And so they list it in administrative portions. And then over in Hebrews chapter 1, it talks about God spoke in times past through these different means, these different processes of administration. Now, it amazes me today how believers do not believe in generations. They believe in generation, but they don't believe in different administrations. They see it as one administration, which my mind can't wrap around that because it's so far from where I am in understanding the Word of God that I can only look at it as either I'm ignorant or they're totally ignorant. I can't figure out which one. But I'm satisfied with what's in my heart. But I do know this, that something had taken place, and I was studying the love of God, and I didn't know the love of God until 3 days ago. And when I caught the full impact of the love of God, I began to weep uncontrollably. I didn't realize the love of God until certain things began to take place in my life that opened up the understanding of the love of God. And when you begin to grow in the love of God, now you're headed for something. You're headed for a wonderful direction. But I begin to realize how important the Holy Spirit is when it comes to interpreting Scripture, because Jude said, you pray for that same mind that was given to them apostles. You pray for that. And it said once for all. So when you're looking at your Bible, it's complete. Now, their interpreters interpret it a little differently, but still you can have confidence in your Bible, people. Praise God. Because we do have a copy of the original text in complete form. Now, the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit are two different entities. Now, we understand our politics today, politicians and so forth and so on. And right now there's a big battle going on between people that are termed liberal and people that are termed conservative. And I thought that I understood what it meant to be liberal and what it meant to be conservative, until on one of the news channels I decided, because of all the conflict that was going on, and so I turned it on and I began to listen, and they had this panel of two Democrats and two Republicans. I'm not talking about politics, by the way, but I am, ain't I? But anyway. And they had what they call a nonpartisan. And his job was to explain. I wish I'd have knew the channel and the program. Somebody says you can look that program up again. And he, as the Republicans and the Democrats were in each other's face, they agreed to finally let him speak and clarify what it meant to be a liberal or a conservative. And when he went into detail on that, here I'm studying the love of God, and I went into shock because it dropped in me the understanding of what it means to be born from above, and you're no longer of this world, but you're now a citizen of heaven. I never understood that before. And I never realized before that a liberal and a conservative, this might not be new information for you guys, but it finally hit me. The two cannot mix. Now, I'm not speaking against our government or anything like that, but my Bible tells me a house that's divided won't continue to stand. We're starting to see the eroding of our own democracy. Because one party that is elected by the people cannot submit to the other party that has been chosen by the majority. They don't know what submission is. You know what submission is? It means one who has the power to put his trust into somebody he might question, but has the ability to honor him and submit to what he is trying to accomplish. Right. Whether you're a Republican or whether you're a Democrat, whatever one is in power, it's beholden by the concept of our democracy is for one to submit to the other. The problem is, if you don't honor the person put in charge, then trust is broken down from that point on. Well, the same principle works in the kingdom of God. If you can't honor the Lord with your whole heart, mind, body, and soul, then guess what? If you can't honor Him, how can you submit to Him? I always say, give the party that's in charge the opportunity to prove himself. Things would flow a lot smoother. Believe me, that's talking about natural as well as spiritual. Give yourself time, because one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. Now, I want to share something with you here. We understand here that these men were moved on by the Holy Spirit. He gave the interpretation of what God said in these epistles, in these scriptures. He gave it. Jesus in the Gospels displayed it. He interpreted what God was, which is love. But I'm going to show you something that I had never seen before about the love of God. And if you will, turn back to Genesis. And the whole point of what I'm trying to put across to you right now is the importance of respecting the Holy Spirit. Very important. When I was studying on the love of God and caught the revelation of it and began to weep, I was upset for the whole day. I tried not to let Sue, my wife, know it. Because once you get the revelation of the love of God, you're expected to walk in it. And there's some things in me that is definitely not the love of God. So I have to work them out before I start sharing it with my wife, because she knows how to pick up fast. And she'll hold you to it. Okay. In Genesis chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, or the soul of man became eternal. And so when we go over into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about that the first Adam was made a living soul, where the second Adam was made a quickening spirit. Very interesting. And a lot of people never picked that up before. I caught it one day. What does it mean that Adam was made a living soul? And, well, when I saw this in verse 7 of Genesis 2, When God Himself breathed into Adam, whom He formed out of the dust of the ground, His tent, His physical being, He breathed into him two lives. He breathed into him the life of the Spirit. And He breathed into him the life of the flesh. Now, that's not hard to believe. Amen? But what gets interesting is God planted him in the garden, and He said to him, now are you ready for this? I never picked it up before. But He said when He planted Adam in the garden, He planted two people in that garden. You know what two people He planted? He planted Adam and Eve. Yep. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, I'm not saying I'm an authority on this, but I believe that is what God said, and chapter 2 is what it became. And so I've been noticing that a lot of times about understanding how God functions. God will say it, and then it happens. And so then he puts Adam in this garden, and he's in there all by himself. Because we know Eve had not yet manifested yet, because Adam didn't go down under the knife, so to speak. And so Adam, he's here in this garden, and God tells him something, which gives us some insight about something. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now in the Hebrew, really the term is muth. And in the Hebrew, you only have two tenses. You have past and present. And so when he said death, death, the first one was to understand by the tense is that the day you partake of that tree of the knowledge, of good and evil, dying, you shall die. Well, because you have two tenses in the Hebrew, that's it. The first tense was the day that you choose to eat of that tree. Mm-hmm. That you choose to eat of that tree, you'll die. So whether we like it or not, what we choose to do will either be life in us or death. And he said, if you choose to eat of that tree, because of that choice of death, you will die. And what it meant was, and I never understood it before until God showed it to me, what happened is, did you guys ever notice the turmoil that a lot of theologians have? Is when did the Holy Spirit really appear here? Because Jesus came along and said, the Holy Spirit cannot come until I go away. Do you know what that did to a theologian, a religious man? What in the world is he talking about? After all, the Holy Spirit was here since Genesis 1. Yeah, it says the Holy Spirit brooded. He was here. Now how come Jesus comes along and says, oh, by the way, the Holy Spirit can't come until I go away? Well, to a religious man, that's crazy. Now, Jesus went on to say, once I go, the Holy Spirit will come. And he says, when he come, now you'll begin to see me. He didn't say you'll see me through the Old Testament. He says, you'll see me where you're at now. He says, because I go and I have prepared a place for you to live. Now, that's not talking about mansions when you die and get on the other side. He was talking about you're going to go to a place to live that you've never lived before. And the Holy Spirit is the instrument by which that is obtainable. Now, I'm studying about the love of God. And did you know that our Bible is very clear on several places of Scripture that God's nature is love. Can I hear an amen? God's nature is love. Now notice how this is worded. He comes down to verse 18 and let's read. Right after he says, if you choose to eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, dying thou shalt die. Because of your choice of death, you will die. And Adam was not deceived. But the woman, being in deception, was deceived. So she was used as an instrument to give to him. Notice this. And the Lord God said, watch this. This caught my attention. It is not good that man should be alone, I will make him a helper comparable to him. This word comparable, I looked it up in the Greek, and it means someone who is suited for Adam. Ideal for man. Hey, look at you, Sue. God sure put me a good woman comparable to me, because no one else could stand me. But she put up with me. And she can tell you, when her and I hooked up, I wasn't the guy that I used to be. Right? Yeah, okay. Thank you, sweetheart. No, she told me the other day, no, you are different. You're not the same guy. Matter of fact, her whole family said, stay away from that nutcase. They were right. I was a nutcase. Now, notice what he says here, and this really caught my attention. He says, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, notice the next verse. You're going to get some revelation here. Are you ready? Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Now, this is after God and Adam were fellowshipping together. We don't know how long this took place, but there was an interaction of walking together with them, right? And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. This is what I discovered. What was it that was planted in man that had to grow from a physical plane? You know what it was? It was man's natural love. This was before the fall. So when he breathed into Adam the breath of life, he breathed into Adam's spirit the nature and life of God, which is love. And he breathed into natural man's requirement for the physical plane called natural love. So the origin of love really began with both loves. When God created man, he created man with a nature of the love of God in his spirit, and he created the natural man, the tent that he squeezed, with the love of the natural plane. Now, it is a proven fact that agape was not a word known in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, the word agape did not have identification until guess who showed up. What's his name? Oh, was it Jesus that showed up? Oh, Jesus was the manifestation of what? Deity? He was a manifestation of the love of God for the world. But the world, are you ready? The world loved darkness rather than light. Now, what had happened was, he gave Adam a job. And he gave him a job to do something so that something would take place in the heart of Adam. And you know what took place in the heart of Adam? A natural love begin to build in his heart because he began to see through the manifestation of what God created was a male and a female. what was comparable for the birds to have a male and a female. Comparable to the beasts of the field to have a male and a female. And it said he gave natural things in the world, even plant life, herbs, the ability to bear seed, to produce after its kind. So God finally concluded that Adam and God was tight. We're where it's happening, man. We're together. Adam loves me so much and I love Adam so much because I breathed into him my nature. And that nature that was breathed into him was through the agency of the Holy Spirit. We didn't know that till we get to 1 John. The life and nature of God was breathed into Adam's spirit, called the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was resident within the spirit of Adam that made it connectable to God. There was no disconnection. They were connected up. But in the day that you partake of the knowledge of good and evil, dying, you will die. So, God sees that Adam is ready for the woman. Why? Because Adam, mine's mine. Everyone else got, you know, male, female, we're fine. You know, I'm just doing it for illustration. But you know what God did? He puts Adam into a deep sleep. And he says, I'm going to take out of Adam what I put in him. And it was a woman. It was not Steve. It was not Fred. It was not Bill. It wasn't any of those names. It was the name of a woman. A mate that was comparable to him. And how he grew in that understanding of natural love as he saw what God had created. It was manifested clearly before Adam's eyes. Uh-oh, what's that? We find that in Romans chapter 1, where it says that it was plainly manifested in them by the creation itself, kind of like Adam. He saw male and female. Oh, so what did Adam do? He was put into a deep sleep. He took the rib, and everybody capitalized on the rib. He took the part of man that was to fully support man. And he said he took the DNA out of Adam that capsulized the woman, and he built her. Women are built. And Adam comes out of the deep sleep, wakes up, and here God brings the woman to him. Sorry he left out Steve, Bill, Fred. He didn't bring a man to him. He brought a woman because that's what he put in his heart. And so now man can grow. Ready? Can grow in natural love because it is ruling and reigning through the nature of God's love in His Spirit. Are you getting this? The nature of God, love, is universal. It doesn't have perimeters. It's unconditional. The only way that you would destroy the love of God in your life is to reject it. And guess what? Satan comes on the scene and says to Eve, quoted the very thing that God said, "The day that you eat of it, God knows you will not surely die." Muth. And so she partook of that. And she turned and gave it to her husband. God found a way for Adam to violate his love for God. It was because his natural love for Eve had grown so strong through the love of God that he had to make a choice. And it says he chose not to lose the woman, so he was willing to forfeit the love of God. And you know what happened? Instantly, the Holy Spirit, the nature of God in Adam, left. Yeah. And there's the mystery. Well, if the Holy Spirit was here in the beginning, how can Jesus come along and say, "He will not come unless I go away"? It's because a religious man doesn't realize that when the Holy Spirit moves into the heart of a man, the man goes back to his original formation. His love is now shed abroad in his heart, in his thinking, by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us with the life and nature of God in it. Woo! I didn't realize I have the love of God in me. Why? I speak in tongues and I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost and my natural mind has been demoted. I'm no longer a liberal. I am a conservative. There's only one way into the kingdom of God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Are you a Muslim? Nope. What are you? Are you a Hindu? Nope. What are you? I'm not a reborn animal. What are you? I'm born again. I have the love of God poured forth in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm back to where Adam originally should have stayed. Whew. This is good stuff. But what happened when the life and nature of God left his spirit? Because of that choice, he chose death. Instantly, the life and nature of God vacated him. And what happened? He began to die physically. And he was not meant to die physically. Why? Because his soul was not divided. There was not one half of him a liberalism and the other half conservative. The church has picked that up. Talk about Trump and Hillary. We ought to start thinking about denomination versus the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can really help us. He's the only one that can really reveal Jesus in it. But now listen, this tells me something. The love of God has to be present. At the same time, the love of the demand for natural love has to remain resident. Are you following me? But the love of God has to rule over the love of man, or the love of man will, not having the love of God to rule it, the love of man will disintegrate. And there will be no love of God for its perimeters. And that means that man then would disintegrate in natural love, a perversion of it. And that's where Romans chapter 1 came in. It says man's heart became darkened because they refused God and began to worship creation rather than the Creator. And God had to do one thing. He had to vacate and give them up to the choice that they had made. Yes. Because he gave it to Adam to have authority over it, and Adam refused it and turned around and vacated the love of God from his heart. And to die physically and to die spiritually is a process. But what instantly left Adam was the love of God through the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit was not here in the heart of man until Jesus came, lived, died, resurrected, and the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost came into the upper room as a signification of this generation. And it said they spoke in tongues of other men with cloven tongues like as a fire. And I never understood the fire until the Lord told me the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes with a fire. And the fire was meant to burn up the chaff. Where was the chaff? In the mind and soul of men that didn't know God. The Holy Spirit would come into man and begin to work in his soul, and he would receive the end of his salvation through the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that natural love would be burned up like chaff in him. I'm preaching myself happy. Where were we at? Oh, let's get back into the Spirit here. So that shows me that when you look at a person who doesn't know God, is not born again, then he doesn't have the Holy Spirit in him. And if he doesn't have the Holy Spirit in him, his natural mind doesn't have any control over his natural love. And there's where love became perverted. Aren't you glad we came to church this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 And I got news for you. God, there is no partiality with God. But you got to understand, you got to have the knowledge by through the meaning of that. Because if you look at the meaning of partiality, it means God is not partial whosoever would receive him. But God is very partial about what people do after they receive him. And the first thing that God would not permit Adam to do is to live on in that state forever. And he drove him out of the garden and put an angel there to keep him from eating the fruit off of that tree that would sustain his natural man forever. Let it die out. Let it die out. Because according to Genesis 6, things got so perverted that God finally came to Noah and said, the life of flesh has gotten so out of control because when Adam fell, love, the love of God, exited man. Now when man gets born again, the love of God comes back to him and he becomes the same place he was before the fall to his original formation. Now, I can't say any more than that, but I am going into great detail the next six sessions after these on the love of God, and you will learn so much out of that. It will amaze you. I only understood the love of God for 3 days now, and I'm preaching stuff hot off the griddle, but I don't fully understand it all myself. But you know what it did? I've been into the book of Revelations, and now I understood why God chose the Apostle John to interpret end times. Because the Apostle John was the only one qualified to interpret the outcome of something concerning the wrath of God. Because John understood the love of God. Amen. Pretty cool. Now when you go back and read Revelations, understanding the love of God, everything goes into its proper place. Aren't you glad you're born again? Aren't you glad your spirit has been contacted by the love of God through the agency of the Holy Spirit? You can't be born again without the Holy Spirit. Someone asked me, if you get born again, you don't speak in tongues, do you still have all of the Spirit? You don't get his leg. Then his foot follows. Anything beyond getting born of the Spirit, anything beyond that, is in your hands. It's in your court how far you want to go with God. But you get all of the Holy Spirit when you get saved. He's resident there. But there's something called outer man that has to be dealt with. And men can only hope that they're filled with the Spirit, but when he has a manifestation of the Spirit coming out of his physical being, then he is convinced, and then God will work through that language, and he will be confirmed that he has the baptism, because that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit is meant to burn up the chaff that is in our thinking that's not of God. And you have to find what God meant through the Holy Spirit when it comes to writing our scriptures. Because that's how our faith grows. How men interpreted what God said is how our faith grows. And we don't want somebody out there that is not submitted to the Holy Ghost to get the same interpretation that the Holy Spirit meant to have in that scripture. You need the Holy Ghost to help you. That's why you need no man to teach you. Natural man has no business teaching you. Save the Spirit of God. Did I make sense here today or not? I hope so. Too much learning hath made me mad. But I'm going to tell you something, people. You can have all the knowledge in the world. All the knowledge in the world. But if you don't have the love of God ruling in your heart, you can't bring an edifice to anybody else. You have to be willing to touch man.
Yes.
And tell him how much you love him in spite of him. You got to lose the hireling mentality and accept people for where God has. He loves the whole world. These songs are so limited. They say, oh, thank God. And they're talking about a personal experience that happens in their heart. But listen, really, the love of God is not partial. The love of God goes beyond the church. It goes to the whole world. But the world doesn't know the love of God until it manifests in you and me. And when it manifests in you and me, then they'll go, voila, is that the love of God? How many of you run across anybody this week that needed the love of God? Well, some of them didn't get it. You want to know why? Because you needed it. I was so depressed one day and God says, who have you introduced the love of God to? And I says, well, nobody really. He says it's because you need it. We condemn our own self. But you know what? Don't move God. That's why David, boy, when John brought that Hebrew meaning of if there's be any evil, that word evil means to carve your own image. That's what that word evil means. That's the same term John, the beloved, uses at the end of chapter 5. He says, flee from idolatry. It means flee from anyone who is carving the different image of God than what you have. Woo! You know what that means? That means I can mix with the liberals as well as the conservatives. Why? Because of the love of God will cover both.
Yes. God.
Some of you might depart. Well, now, he's a conservative and I'm a liberal. I'm leaving. You don't have to. The love of God will cover both. Woo! Now, having said all that, we're out of time. But I wanted to get into 1 John in chapter 1 and 2. And I want to show you something about how important it is for that inward anointing to be alive in you. Because that inward anointing has to interpret the mind of God. Boy, anymore, I don't know whether to really get settled in because I have had so much this natural understanding about the kingdom of God through my natural mind that it's getting harder for me to distinguish what is what is knowing Christ after the flesh versus knowing Him after the Spirit. Let me share one last thing with you. Ushers, I want you to come forward and get the trays, and I want you to pass them out while I'm sharing this information with them. So come forward, hallelujah, and receive the trays, and we're going to go ahead and pass them out while I close this service, this message, hallelujah. People don't understand Paul's position when he actually was chosen by God to write three-quarters of the New Testament. Here's why. Because Paul was the only one that had the full understanding of the Old Testament concept of how to connect with God. But Paul didn't have the concept now of the change that took place, that now coming to God, you have to go through Christ. And so what God did is He chose Paul because Paul had a clear understanding of the Old Testament and how the Messiah that was to come was promised, and God could use that understanding to reveal Christ in him. And he said that. Now I know that he chose me to reveal Christ in me because I understood that he was to come, and that now I can see he's here. Are you following me? And here's how he accomplished that. He was told by the Holy Spirit to get on the backside of the desert and stay there. And so he went there and did that, and he prayed. And what happened? He said, I don't know whether it's in body or out of body, but I do know one thing. I went to the third heaven. And he said, I was taught things that natural man could not bring forth. I was taught of them personally by Christ. He had a face-to-face interpretation of where Christ was presently. And God said, He sent him back to the earth. And the first thing that happened is when he came back, Satan said, I'm going after this dude. Because if he gives out this light, gives it out, there's no stopping what this gospel can do. It will remove men from darkness into light. And so Paul said, here's what happened. A thorn was given, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me. And what he was saying, that Satan, in order to buffet him, he knew then very clearly that the only reason that he could do anything that he was doing is simply through the grace of God and not anything to do with himself. It was what God chose to do. But men come along with their carnal mind and interpret it. He was going to be lifted up in pride, and therefore God had to smack him down to keep him humble. Listen, if Paul wasn't humble to begin with, he would have never got to the third heaven.
Right.
No, Satan wanted to buffet him so he could show the world that he must not be very spiritual, or God would do a better job of covering him. He was trying to reach the natural man. Because back then, when you had a thorn in your side, it literally meant that you were spiritually blind. And it was very interesting how God chose Paul's first journey to go through the island of Crete, because the king there on the island wanted to know all about Christianity. He wanted to know all about the kingdom of God. And so there was a prophet who was ruled by a principality, a power of darkness. And he spoke against Paul to the king. And Paul turned around and said, you spirit of darkness, I know what you're doing. And he smote the guy with blindness. Why did he smote the guy with blindness? Because blindness represented a man who has no spiritual insight. He can't see spiritually. And so he publicly smote this guy, and the king goes, oh, well, tell me, Paul. And so he led the king to the Lord. The whole island of Crete then turned on to God. Bunch of believers there, and sent Titus there and set up a church. Titus did. Why? Then the guy's eyes were restored. And according to the anti-Nicene fathers, that guy that was ruled by principality, they said he got saved. Praise God. But what happened was, when they called this thorn in the side, actually, according to the providence of Galatia, he revealed that they staked his eyes. They staked his eyes out. And God restored his eyes, sent him back to the guys that did it, and they said, oh my gosh, and they received him because he loved them in spite of what they did to him. Isn't that something? So God will always, in the end, grace you out of something that you might have gotten yourself into. Glory to God. You guys ready to take communion? I can see, not with just my natural mind, I can see my eyes were healed. Why? The Holy Ghost. My eyes were open when the Holy Ghost came in. I just didn't know how to recognize him. Some of you might have had the wrong concept of what God was about. But God is love. And that's why agape has a meaning. That no matter where a man is at, God's honest to goodness craving for him is always meant for the better and never for the worst. He said, because the rain falls on the unjust and the just alike. God wants nothing but his best for anybody, regardless of where man's at. But the thing is, the love of God is not emotional connection. Man's love is emotional. It's connected to his outer man. And it's been corrupted by the nature that has entered into it. That's what drove out the life and nature of God out of Adam's spirit. And now Adam was just thoroughly, just like anyone after him, was thoroughly subject to the love of God not being in his heart. Only his natural man. Oh man. And so Satan went to pervert it. Father, as we get ready to partake of the bread, we know this symbolizes the body that you have given us through Jesus. This body was meant to be crucified on the cross in our place. And Father, as we take communion, we want to enhance our fellowship, our koinonia with you, through the revelation that you came and gave us a body, a sacrifice that would open up the kingdom of heaven in the heart of men by the Holy Spirit being able to come into our heart and produce life in us through the blood. And so, Father, right now as we lift this bread up, it was intended that the body never be broken, but the body would be connected together forever and ever. And Father, forgive me for me even dividing myself against my brother or sister, whether it was presently or in the past. Forgive me, Lord. Your love covers them like it covers me. If you love those that are begotten of God, then it's because you do love God too. So shall we take of this bread right now? And any enemy that we've ever had, let's put him under the love of God right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And that same night in which he was betrayed, he took the cup and he said, drink. For often as you do show the Lord's death till he comes. And when he shed his blood, it became life for us. Let's drink. Pass the cups to the center of the aisle. And the ushers will pick them up. In all my preaching today, I can honestly say that God is definitely for the Falcons. That sounded stupid, but it's because it was my own heart. God is for both of them. But you know, it was just me. So if you're looking for the Super Bowl, good. So next Sunday morning, we're going to get into how did we get in the fix that we got into. And we'll go to 1 John. There's some beautiful insight there. Everybody, did you collect all the cups? Okay. Everybody. Huh? Oh, Joe Purcell, that's right. Joe Purcell is coming next week. So forgive me. We'll get into it after Joe leaves. Stand up, everybody. You love Joe Purcell. He always comes with a good word. Amen. I love Joe. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, I know that the more light that we have, we see the more responsibility that we incur. And Father, I welcome it. I welcome the responsibility of it. My flesh might not like it, but my spirit is willing. And so, Father, today as we bow our heads and take honor to your respect for the word, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, that has never had a chance to really be touched by your love, boy, that's why they can come to the altar, Father, just as they really are, because God knows how to work in your heart and to make your life much better. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen, people. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we love you so much. That if you would move in the hearts of the people here this morning, if there's anybody here that has never received you, we welcome them. And Father, if there's anybody here that has received you, but has not been able to interpret the love of God that you have for them, then they won't understand the thoughts that you have towards them are thoughts of good, not of evil. Father, they need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They need it so dearly because he has a way of dealing with the soul so that it can be set free from the thought processes that have been formed in it from this natural world. And they were formed in them without the love of God. Father, they can begin life anew to know you as they've never known you before. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for shedding the love of God abroad in our hearts. And I just pray everyone here will receive that. So if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, feel free now to come right up here right now. Anybody, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. It is important. Hallelujah. It is. Praise God. And last but not least, if you've never given your heart at all, do it. But last but not least, if you've been out of fellowship with God, we can pray with you. So you can feel free to come up and we'd just love to pray with you. Because fellowshipping with Him is so important. And how you fellowship with Him is through the Holy Spirit. Okay. Dear Father, may your wonderful people have a safe trip home. May they be free from any dangers on the highways and roads. And Father, may they have a wonderful, abundant day today. And may the home Bible fellowships grow. And may people connect with the Word of God in Jesus' name. And may we reach more in church people through them. With that said, God bless you. Hallelujah.